Mercy, peace, and forgiveness are yours. They are yours because Jesus loves you this much. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, are you familiar with a poem entitled My Life is But a Weaving? It's also called The Tapestry. It goes like this. My life is but a weaving between my God and me. I cannot choose the colors. He weaveth steadily. Oft times he weaveth sorrow, and I in foolish pride forget he sees the upper, and I the underside. Not till the loom is silent and the shuttles cease to fly will God unroll the canvas and reveal the reason why. The dark threads are as needful in the weaver's skillful hand as the threads of gold and silver in the pattern he has planned. He knows, he loves, he cares. Nothing this truth can dim. He gives the very best to those who leave the choice to him. I like this poem. I like this poem because it very nicely brings out a very important truth that we all too often forget. That truth centers around the fact that the Lord God of heaven and earth, our Creator, our Redeemer, our Sanctifier, He is the one who is weaving the tapestry of our life. Our God has a plan for each and every one of us, my friends. At times, God's plan for our life might seem rather chaotic, at least from our perspective. At times, God's plan for our life might not be anywhere near the plan that we had for our life. But as this poem brings out, God's plan for our life is always the best. I'd like you to keep this poem in mind as we are studying our sermon text for today. Here in 1 Timothy chapter 1, the Apostle Paul gives us a glimpse into the story of God's plan for his life. In a nutshell, Paul says that his life on this earth is but a journey that I think can be accurately described by the four little words of our sermon theme for today, from chaos to charis. There are two things that we want to see this morning. First of all, let's see that a life without Christ is a life that is filled with chaos. Then let's see that a life with Christ is a life that is overflowing with charis. Right about now, you might be wondering, what in the world is charis? So before we proceed, let me learn you a little bit of Greek. Charis is the Greek word for grace. This Greek word is used 155 times on the pages of the New Testament scriptures. 119 of those times, it is simply translated as grace. Since I am rather fond of alliteration, I decided to use that Greek word in our sermon theme for this morning, from chaos to charis. Let's turn now to our text for this morning. The life of the Apostle Paul is indeed an extremely good example of how a life without Christ is a life that is filled with chaos. Paul describes his life without Christ in both verse 13 and in verse 15 of our text. In verse 13, Paul says that he was once a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a violent man. And then in verse 15, he says that he was the worst of sinners. Was Paul being a little overly dramatic here, my friends? Not at all, especially when you look at Paul's life from God's perspective. To see how Paul's life was indeed at one time a life that was filled with chaos, all we need to do is to look back when Paul the Apostle was still Saul the Pharisee. Saul the Pharisee was indeed a man who lived a life that was filled with chaos, especially from God's perspective. Saul the Pharisee was a blasphemer. He openly and vehemently spoke against the one and only true God. After the execution of Stephen, Saul made it his personal life's goal, his number one mission, to destroy the Christian church on the face of this earth. Saul became the preeminent persecutor of God's people, violently dragging men and women into prison if they proclaimed that Jesus is the promised Messiah, this world's only savior from sin. Once Paul had swept through the entire city of Jerusalem, he then set his sights on doing the very same thing in the city of Damascus. When Paul the Apostle looked back on his life as Saul the Pharisee, he was indeed able to see that from God's perspective, his life was filled with chaos. When Paul the Apostle looked back on his life as Saul the Pharisee, he had no choice but to confess that he was the worst of sinners. At the same time, Paul was now able to see how the good Lord had a plan to bring him from chaos into charis. Look at verse 14 of our text. Paul writes, "The grace, the charis of our Lord, was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and the love that are in Christ Jesus." Even though Paul was indeed a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a violent man, even though Paul was at one time the worst of sinners, the Lord his God had a plan. From all of eternity, he had a plan how he was going to bring Paul out of that chaos by showering him with charis, by showering him with grace. In fact, the picture that Paul uses here in our text for today is nothing short of amazing. Very literally, Paul says that the grace, the charis of our Lord God, was poured out on him beyond measure. It completely overflowed in his life. No matter how much chaos may have ruled Paul's life before he came to know Jesus as his Savior, the charis, the grace that he received in Christ Jesus, was completely beyond measure. Now, one might think that Paul might have been somewhat reluctant to have this chaos of his life brought out for everyone to see. So why? Why was Paul willing to have that portion of his life put on public display? He tells us in verses 15 and 16 of our text. Paul writes, "Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life." Paul is indeed a beautiful example of our sermon theme for today, from chaos to charis. Purely by grace, purely by charis, Paul was brought from being a blasphemer to being a believer. Purely by grace, purely by charis, Paul was transformed from someone who persecuted Christ into someone who praised Christ. Purely by grace, purely by charis, Paul was changed from someone who reacted violently at the message of the gospel into someone who rejoiced victoriously at the message of the gospel. Purely by grace, purely by charis, Paul was brought from being the worst of sinners to being a dearly beloved, saved, redeemed, and forgiven child of God. From chaos to charis. Can God do that for you, my friends? Listen very closely before you answer that question. Can the Lord God Almighty bring you from the chaos of a life without Christ and into the charis of a life with Christ? He already has, hasn't he? Through the powerful message of the gospel, working in word and sacrament, the good Lord has already brought you from chaos to charis. Even if at one time you did indeed rival the Apostle Paul for being the worst of sinners, this cross guarantees to you that the charis, the grace of the Lord your God, has been poured out on you beyond measure. No matter how many skeletons Satan may try to drag out of your closet and put on public display for everyone to see, through faith in what Christ has done for you, you are able to say with the Apostle Paul, "Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst." You are saved. You are forgiven purely because of the charis, the grace of the Lord your God. There's just one more point then that we want to glean from our text for today. Sometimes our life here on this earth still seems rather chaotic, doesn't it? We experience troubles at home, troubles at school, troubles at work. We face financial difficulties and failing health. Worries sometimes keep us up at night. Family and friends can disappoint us. How do we deal with the chaos that we still encounter as we journey through this world? We stay focused. We stay focused on the charis of our God. Just as God has already brought you from the chaos of a life without Christ into the charis of a life with Christ, so also one day the Lord your God will bring you out of the chaos of this world and usher you into the charis of living with him in his heavenly home. All the difficulties that we deal with here in life remind us that this world and everything this world often offers to us, it adds up to absolutely nothing. Only what God has promised to us, only what God has waiting for us in heaven above, is truly priceless. My prayer then this morning is that you will indeed remember those four little words, from chaos to charis. Remembering those four little words will bring you the comfort of knowing that no matter how chaotic your life here on this earth might seem, from your perspective, the God who loves you this much knows what he is doing. As the one who is weaving the tapestry of your life, God has a plan for you. And since he sees your entire life always before him, God knows exactly what needs to happen and when it needs to happen for your eternal spiritual good. At the same time, remembering those four little words, from chaos to charis, will give you the confidence to look at what your Lord has already done for you. Trust in the promises that your Lord has given to you, and then enable you to say with the Apostle Paul, "Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. To God be the glory. Amen." Please rise.